I just want to share a great word I believe that could impact and change your life forever. For those of you who are new with us, my name is Tommy. I pastor the church here. I want to personally thank you for being with us this morning. I believe that God not only has a blessing or has something special for our everyday church family member, but also for those who may be visiting or, you know, coming to worship with us for the first time. And so I encourage everyone to open up your eyes and ears spiritually to hear and see what God would do today. I want to share a message that I lived this message. I've entitled it, I Will Not Burn Out. I will not burn out. I never burned out before. No one's never burned out or had that crazy opportunity to burn out. Are you a little tired today? Is it the weather? Welcome back our newlyweds, Jen and Mark, welcome back. They got married about a week and a half ago. They're back with us this morning. But I will not burn out. See, burnout is when we physically, emotionally, spiritually become exhausted. We become to the point where we feel like everything's going to break and fall apart. And God hasn't created us, and God doesn't want us to live that way. God doesn't want you to live hurting. God doesn't want you to live always feeling exhausted, always feeling like you can't take another step forward, always feeling like everything about you is being sucked from you and you can't get even a breath of air. That's not God's perfect plan for you. But what happens is things may take place or transpire, or we may do things that may cause us to become exhausted and frustrated, whether emotionally or physically or even spiritually, and that robs from us. And I want to share an encouraging message today to you, for you, and then give you opportunity to respond that God can touch you. I want to thank Pastor Scott for last week's message. I was blessed listening to it during the week. If you were here last week, if you weren't here, I encourage you to get on the website and watch it or listen to it. It will challenge you, and it will take you to a new level. I had the privilege of being asked to fill a pulpit of a dear friend of mine, Pastor Debbie Grisbaum, who I believe really is the second spiritual mother in my life, who speaks as a spiritual mom into my life, and she needed her pulpit filled, and I'm a firm believer that if we have enough resources, we should be helping other churches. And we have enough godly men and women to fill this pulpit for a week where we can go bless someone else and help someone else. But I thank you for coming and you know, encouraging Pastor Scott as he shared with us. And so let's jump into this word today. I'm not going to read the whole passage at one time. I'm going to kind of break it up in this service. But when I talk about burning out, I'm really talking about that collapse or that frustration that comes from the overworking, from the stress, from the various things that are happening in our lives. I'm going to look at Elijah today. Elijah was a great man of God. He was a teacher. He was a prophet, a man who God used in a mighty way. And he has this amazing encounter with God, and God begins to use him. And during the time of famine, he uses him to impact a woman and her son's life and home, where there was provision continually given, where also the son had passed away and God used him to pray over him and the son came back to life. But then God uses Elijah in this, probably what I feel is one of the most amazing outpourings of God's power, strength, and might in the Old Testament. I know there's a lot of great things, but I love the story of Mount Carmel. I love how Elijah calls upon God, who's in heaven, to come down and to consume the sacrifice and the altar that he made to worship him, versus all the false prophets of Baal who did the same thing and continued to cry out and cut themselves and do everything that was needed to have their God do the same thing, which never happened. So God uses him in this way to show people the truth and the reality of who he is. But what I find unique is after this amazing spiritual encounter, after this amazing outpouring of God's presence, of God showing his might and his power and the truth of who he is, we find Elijah just, you know, the next chapter, I don't know the exact number of days or hours or weeks in between, we find him now curled up underneath a tree saying, God, take my life. I can't go any further. God, they're trying to kill me. God, I was the only one that was willing to do what you wanted me to do, God. God, I'm just angry. I'm frustrated. We find this man who in one verse or one chapter is like, God Almighty, consume, and God moves, and then all of a sudden you see him exhausted, tired, frustrated. Anyone ever been there before? God's doing something supernatural in your life. Your kids got saved, or you know, you got filled with the Holy Spirit, or they come back from Sunday school and they're like, you know, or they go to vacation Bible school, or you go on a missions trip and you come home and you've been preaching and teaching on the mission field of the city or another country, and all of a sudden you come home and then all of a sudden something happens and you're like, I don't even know if God exists anymore. I'm just speaking truth today. The truth sets us free. Because I think if we're honest, we've all been there. But what I'm excited about is that God doesn't want you to stay there. God wants to do something today. I believe that when we gather and we meet, when we worship, when we hear the word, we should always give time for God to move to do what he needs to do regarding what was spoken about. And so when we look at burnout, it's something that is from the beginning of time. And today's message I will share, and I can tell you every one of these points are true. Because I've been down that road. I've been there. And it affected me in a negative way. It affected my family. It affected my relationship with my wife and my kids. Because I was burning out. And I was burning out quick. And, you know, we don't want to be there. It's not a good thing. It's an ugly thing. And so I want to help you move forward and grow and be where God wants you to be. And on a side note, my wife thanks you for all your prayers and all your support. Many of you know that she's doing the cancer walk, the 60-mile cancer walk. She's probably now at mile 50 or so, getting ready to wrap it up. She's in another state, another city. And so she sends her love and her blessings to you this morning as we are texting back and forth. So here's what I want to talk about today. Here's what I want to share from the Word of God. I want to share to you about Elijah. See, Elijah, he has this great encounter with God, and then all of a sudden, Elijah gets word that Jezebel, the word says this, that Jezebel, you don't have to stand because I'm going to read and preach and read and preach and read, unless you just want to do aerobics all day. Jump rope up here too while we're doing it. So I appreciate your reverence for the word of God, but I'm going to do the message a little different today. Change it up, throw a little curveball to everybody. But it says, Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them, meaning the prophets of Baal. Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. And he goes out into this region and he sits down underneath a broom tree and he prayed that he might die. Here's what he says, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. That's what Elijah says. A second ago, he's like, oh, Lord, come down, consume this. He's on a spiritual high. Things are happening. Things are going on. And then all of a sudden, he's over here saying, God, take my life. I'm burning out. I don't know what to do. I can't handle it. See, what happens is he begins to play the burnout game. And the burnout game kind of goes like this. See, what he began to do is immediately compare himself to his ancestors. See, what happens in our lives and in my lives is that I begin to play this thing called the comparison game. And when I could do the comparison game, it's frustrating because it's taking all my time and my energy and my effort. What he's doing is he's saying that I'm not better than who they were and what they did. And so I can't go any further, God. I don't even line up or measure to that point of what happened, whether it was Moses or whether it was whoever was before him doing a great work of God. And he's like saying, I don't compare, God. And he's frustrated. And I'll tell you what, I used to play that game of the comparison game. God, look at their church. Look at, this is big in youth ministry. Look at their youth ministry. They got 500 kids coming, God. We only have 100. We only have 50. We only have 10. Oh my gosh, look at their facility, God. It's so much better than my facility. God, I got to have what they have. They have smoke mirrors and really cool lights. God, do you see what's happening here? What I'm doing is I'm comparing myself with somebody else's call, with somebody else's DNA, with somebody else's anointing, with somebody else's plan and purpose for their lives. And I'm trying to measure up myself onto who they are with who God's called me to be. And the problem is when I do that, I burn out. Let's talk about worship. If these worshipers began to compare themselves to Bethel, which, by the way, I saw Bethel at Kingdom Bound, and they did that song, the second song. What was the name of that song? I don't know the titles. Stand in Your Love. And I'll tell you what, our team did it just as good as Bethel did it. So we don't need to compare who's doing what. We just need to be who God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. And see, Elijah, he's got an issue here because he's comparing himself. So he's striving and he's trying and he's putting unrealistic expectations on who he is and who he needs to be. And when we begin to live a comparison game, we will burn out because we'll never find ourselves good enough. Because we'll always find someone who has something better in our mind or in our thinking. And so we're like, oh, they got this and that's much better. Oh, they got this and that much better. And so we just keep going back and forth, and we're beating ourselves up. I'm no better than my ancestors. No, you are as good as your ancestors. They may have just a different call or different type of anointing on their lives. You're as good as anybody else because God has made you special in your unique way He created you. We have to stop comparing ourselves with everybody else around us and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? God, I'm just ready to go. See, I did this so much in the very beginning. People were with us, man. It was like, what's the next new thing happening in the youth ministry? We can do that. We can do it better. No, we can't because that wasn't our call. It's not who we are. Even in the transition here. Who are we? We're who God's called us to be. It may look a little different, but we're going to be who God wants us to be. I'm not going to compare myself to other churches. I can't. I got to worry about what God's called us to do and us to be here in Lakeview. And if we live life comparing ourselves to everybody else, we're going to have a problem because we're our own worst critics. We're our own worst critics. We beat ourselves up. And when we have these unrealistic striving expectations that we put out because of what we see somebody else doing, and we're a critic of ourselves, what happens is we will burn out fast. Elijah was doing that. It was happening. He was comparing himself, and he's to the point where he was like, just take my life. But he didn't just stop there. He didn't stop there. See, what happened was, he says this in the 10th verse, because God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? He goes, Lord, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, tore down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. See, what I'm noticing here Elijah saying is, God, I've done everything that you told me to do, and I can't control those people. I can't make them change. I can't take them and bring them to the altar to worship you and get away from the altar of Baal. See, what I'm picking up there is he's saying, God, I've done everything you wanted me to do, but I can't get them to do what you want them to do. No, you can't, Elijah, because you're not in control of them. Elijah, your job was to preach the word, to do what God told you to do and put it out there. It is then their responsibility as an adult, as a teenager, as a child, to make the decision to follow or not follow God. But like Elijah, I tried to go through life controlling. Somebody yell amen. That's an amen. Controlling. See, when we try to live life controlling every circumstance, every situation, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month of the year, we're going to burn out because we're not called to be control freaks. We're not called to control people. We're not. And so Elijah's trying to control a nation to turn to God, and he's burning out quick because he's comparing himself with the past, and he's trying to control the now. This is hard to believe. I was a control freak. I'm much better now. I've surrounded my people. I surrounded myself with people that can speak to me and say, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? I'm like, oh, let me snap out of this whole control thing. See, Elijah was a great man of God, a speaker of truth, you know, yet he was blaming himself for people not doing what God called him to do by releasing the word. I can't make any one of you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can't, you know, we try it as parents. We'll be in church, and the pastor will have a great message, like always here at SEC, any pastor in the pulpit. And what happens is, Then you look at your kid and you're like, you need Jesus. And we try to grab our kid's hand and drag him to the altar. And they were like, Pastor, anoint him. Anoint him with oil to get that demon out. He needs to be set free. He needs Jesus. You can't control someone like that. We got to let them experience Jesus for themselves. We got to live Jesus in front of them. Just maybe they're not accepting Jesus because when we get home, we ain't living like we're at church. We forgot everything about church when we get to the house, and all of a sudden we're saying things we would never say at church. We're acting the way we would never act at church, so they're seeing one thing at home, and then they get to church, it's like, oh, Jesus. And they're like, who are you? No, you need Jesus. We can't control them like that. When we try to control people, you know what happens? We burn out. We fall apart. We cannot control people. You know what we do? We preach the truth, we live the truth, we act the truth, we speak the truth. We're a representation of Jesus Christ in all that we do. We present it to people that they would come to know Jesus. And so he's telling God that the people are falling apart, they're not following him, this, this, and that. And God already knows all this stuff. You know, and so we can't go through life trying to control. He's trying to control the nation. And the reality is, last time I checked, you know, is it Tony Atlas, the guy that has the big world on his back? Is that who he is, Tony Atlas? Last time I checked, God didn't tell us to carry the weight of the world on our back or on our shoulders. Jesus did it for us. So we need to stop trying to control the world and every situation, every circumstance in life, and let go of the world and let God control everything and just be a vessel that God wants to use to. Because if we don't stop trying to control everything, we're going to crash and burn. We're going to crash and burn. If we don't stop comparing, we're going to crash and burn. And then all of a sudden, Elijah, he says this. Elijah says this in the 10th verse. He says, I am the only one left. And they're trying to kill me, God. Such a diva. Seriously. So emotional. Emotional beyond. Living life in exaggeration. He's living the emotional game, the exaggeration game. God, let's look what he says. I'm the only one left. No, you're not. Elijah, you are not the only one left. Why are you saying that? And they're trying to kill me. They? I read that it said Jezebel sent a messenger that he was going to kill her, him. Now, one woman is trying to kill him. Now, one woman might be a nation, but one woman is trying to kill him. And trying to, but the reality is, if she really wanted him dead, now this isn't scriptural, so I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole thing. If she really wanted him dead in that time frame of the way the world was, why would she send a messenger to warn him and tell him she's going to kill him tomorrow? Why wouldn't the messenger have killed him the first time he saw him? So he's all freaked out. He's emotional. He's an emotional mess. When we live life emotional and living by our feelings only, we're going to burn out. Do you want to know why? Because our feelings aren't always true. Sometimes our feelings lie to us. They do. See, he was so emotional, he came from the spiritual high to all of a sudden feeling spiritually low. He came from this amazing miracle that took place out in the desert, out calling upon God to consume this sacrifice, this altar, to all of a sudden, you're a dead man. He's freaked out. He's emotional. He's living on feelings. And so what he's trying to tell God is, man, I'm the only one, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and no one's listening, and I'm not as good as my ancestors. But God, stop crying, Elijah. Stop. Because what you're saying isn't true. It's one person. And by the way, Elijah, if you read on in the 19th chapter, in verse 18, it says, yet I have preserved seven others in Israel who never bowed down. So Elijah, you weren't the only one who was worshiping me. Because after the altar was consumed, people knew my power and began to serve me. And I had 7,000 others while all of this was going on that never bowed down to worship Baal. So you're not alone. So stop being so emotional. Stop trying to live your life on emotions and feelings. Stop trying to control everything. Stop. You see where I'm going with this? Because when you add all these together and they become a part of who we are, you know what happens? We crash and we burn so fast. So, feelings. Feelings. They're real. But when we live on our feelings, what happens is we begin to try to reason them according to how we feel. See, emotional reasoning says this. It says, I feel, therefore it's true. I feel, therefore it's the truth. Emotional reasoning, you know, says that I feel this, I sense this in my feelings and in my emotions, and therefore because it's happening, it's real. But like I said, sometimes what we feel isn't necessarily the truth. You want to know a natural experience that'll prove this? It's August. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? In case you don't know, next Thursday night's the first Bills game. See, it's August. And my feelings right now are telling me come February, we're having a Super Bowl party. Because our team's going to be in the Super Bowl. But you know what? For the past 15 years, my feelings have been lying to me. Because every August, I feel that way. And I'm telling everybody, we're going. And you know what? They lie. I feel great right now. I feel awesome. I'm reading everything I can about our team and what's going on. I'm like, yeah, we got this. We'll see. We'll see. So do you see how we get so caught up and if we live on feelings? And then they become, and we're really living on a lie, not the truth. Yeah, we should be in touch with our feelings. Absolutely. But that's not enough. We also need to be in touch with truth and reality. Well, first of all, what God is saying, what God's word says, and also what's happening around us. See, Jesus didn't say this. He didn't come to me and say, Tommy, when you get in touch with your feelings and you embrace them, and you know what they feel like, you know what they're saying, that will set you free. He didn't say that. He said, no. He says, the truth will set you free. And see, if I'm living on emotions, I'm going to burn out because my emotions are up and down. Let me give you an example of emotions in church. You walk into the atrium. Someone that you know sees you but doesn't say hello to you. Your first emotion is, oh, they don't like me. What did I do? What happened? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Why didn't he say hi to me? Why didn't she acknowledge me? We walked right by each other. We literally touched shoulders. Why didn't they stop and say good morning to me? Oh, my God, they don't like me. Oh, no. Oh, no. What? This really happens. This really happens. This happens all the time. So our emotions, it can take us down a road we don't want to go down. We need to be in touch with them, understand them, but we can't realize, or we can't live on everything in life regarding them in the sense of how they lead and guide us. But what's unique is even, you know, I think one of the reasons, too, is because of all the stuff going on, because of, you know, the whole Jezebel wanting to kill him. He's comparing himself. He's emotional. He's just trying to control everything. I think in the midst of all that, what happens, too, in the game of not burning out is that we lose vision. We did a whole series on vision because vision is so important for life. I believe that we can lose vision for who we are as an individual, as a person, whatever God's called you to be. And I think when we lose vision, what happens is we become scattered. We become undisciplined. We become unfocused by doing a million other things. See, if we're called here, then we need to stay here. We need to, Jesse in the first service prophetically saying this, I don't even know if she even realized this. She said, God gave you a first word. And don't get off that first word until that first word comes to pass. And see, so when we get off the vision, when we get off the call, off the purpose that God has for us as his children, what happens is we become undisciplined. We become scattered. We become doing a million other things in life. And then what happens is we get frustrated and we begin to crash and burn because we're not seeing things happen the way that we think they should be. But they're not happening because we're not focused on what we're really supposed to be doing. That's even at church. We're called to be a church with a certain DNA doing a certain thing. Some of you have mentioned things to me, and I'm like, it really doesn't fit the vision or the call. And so it's a great idea, it's awesome, but right now it's just not something that we want to begin to partake because it's not filling the vision. I don't want to get lost in this ministry doing what we shouldn't be doing. I only want to be doing what God wants us to do so we can stay focused and not burn out. Because we could be doing a million other things and burning out and lives aren't being changed and people don't come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and all the things. So we need to stay focused on the vision that God gave us. And so those are some things that I wanted to share with you regarding Elijah and even how he was. Because see, that happens in life for you and I. When we live emotionally, when we try to control everything, when we live the life of comparing all that we are, all that we do to everybody else, and when we lose sight of the vision or the purpose or the plan that God has for our lives and we're doing everything else, there's a possibility that we're going to burn out. We're going to get physically exhausted. We're going to get emotionally drained. We're going to get spiritually sucked dry, and we're going to be like, I don't even hear God's voice anymore. But God has a remedy. You know that? He displayed some of that remedy even with what Elijah went through the passages. See, because the first remedy I think that is so important for us that American culture has a tough time with is the Bible says that Elijah laid down and he rested. He slept. See, it says here in the verse 5, then he laid down and he slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate, he drank, and he laid back down again. And then in verse 7, it says the angel came back, touched him again, woke him, said, eat again, because your journey is far, and you need to be rested and have the ability to sustain what you're about to do. One of the remedies that we must understand in culture, in our lives, is that we need to understand the importance of rest. Now, that may not seem spiritual, that may not seem like overly deep, but the reality is, if we're physically exhausted, it's going to affect you spiritually, emotionally, and every other area in your life. And so, just like Elijah had to rest, he had to eat, he had to sleep, he had to do what was necessary to take care of the physical part of his body because the physical part will also affect the other aspects of our lives. To avoid or a remedy for burnout is, are we resting enough? Now, I'm not saying quit your job and lay at home and watch soaps all day. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But there's a time to rest and there's a time to work. There's a time to get moving and there's a time to sit down. And I had to learn this because I'm a go person. I always want to be doing something. And I had to learn this. And this was the hardest thing for me to do, was to sit down and rest. But I understand now that if you don't rest, you don't function right. You don't make the right decisions properly. You can't focus and get, you know, real detail what God's saying or doing. And so it's important for us to rest. Elijah was burning out, man. And when he was burning out, God wasn't scolding him saying, you know, Elijah, get up, man. Get your life together. What's wrong with you? Pick yourself up. Get rid of that mood that you have about wanting to die and stop comparing. No, he said, Elijah, you need to rest because I got a plan. I got a journey you're going to go on, but you need to be rested up so you can really get a gist of what I'm going to tell you to do and how to handle what you're going into, Elijah. And so a remedy for burnout is resting. Another remedy for burnout is that we got to begin to let go of our frustrations. We got to stop holding everything in. I'm not a doctor, but you hear people say that people are so stressed out and so frustrated that it just gets them that you see heart attacks, you see strokes, you see nervous breakdowns. Why? Because they just hold it all in. They just won't let it go. And they become angry and bitter, and they're just walking through life. How are you? I'm good. No, you're not good, dude. You got some issues. You got to let them out. Let them come out of you. What did Elijah do? It says Elijah went to the cave, went to God, and God sent him to the cave. And he's like, God, and he begins to let the frustrations out. I zealously served you, God. I've done all these things. Remember, he was complaining. But what he was doing is he's telling God all of the problems that was going on in his life and how he was frustrated because everything he was doing wasn't coming to pass because, you know, the mission that he sent him on. And so we need to understand that we need to release the frustrations because they deal with the emotional side of burnout. And it also is the beginning steps of healing because you got to deal with them. If we keep shoving it down inside of us, the frustrations, the hurts, the pains, the way we feel we've been done wrong, you're not going to grow. You're not going to move forward. It's going to hold you back. It's going to eat you up. And so we have to learn to release those frustrations. And Elijah says, I was very zealous, but, and he was telling God everything he was all about. What I'm really saying is it's time to cast all our cares on the Lord and on Jesus. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. We can start telling God how we feel. Do you know there's times I come in here frustrated? And some of my frustrations are so petty. They're beyond. I'm just kind of, I can't use that word because they're filming. I just get so tight and blah. I don't know why, but I'm still praying about it. But when I get like that, I come in here. And I'm like, God, you know how I feel. I'm frustrated, God. I'm tired of, I just let it go. I just let it come out. And I'm letting it go here because this is where I meet with God. It's one of my meeting places. So I meet with God here and I tell him how I feel and what's going on. And then God will correct me or he'll tell me what or how to handle a situation. He'll dust me off. He'll pick me up. He'll encourage me. He'll love on me. He'll pour out in me. But if I don't do that, I'll be coming in here like you guys won't even know who I am anymore. Because if I allow that to control me, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue. So I got to release those frustrations. That's a remedy to avoid burnout, not allowing them to control us. Not allowing them to control us. And so not only am I resting and sleeping, but I'm releasing our frustrations. Let me encourage you too. Sometimes it's also good to talk to somebody. Godly counsel. Not social media. Godly counsel. Don't air your frustrations out on social media. Because if you're frustrated before you do that, every reply to you will not be what you want to hear. So don't air it out there. Air it out to God. And then find godly counsel. Find a couple godly people. Because sometimes it's good to hear another view of what you're going through to help you grow and move forward. And so it's so important. We're never meant to do life alone. Did you know that? If you don't believe me, read Genesis chapter 2. Adam's alone. And God says what? It's not good for him to be alone. It's not good to do life alone. And so it's not good to walk through burnout. It's not good to go through these things alone. We cast our cares on Jesus. We find some godly people that we trust in our lives. Another remedy is we get refocused. Worship team, you can come up. We're going to start wrapping this up. We got to get refocused. Elijah had to get refocused. He goes out. God sends him out of the cave. And in the midst of it, the Bible says that, you know, when he was out there, there was a windstorm that hit the mountain and rocks were falling off. And there was fire and there was an earthquake. And then there was a small whisper. In the midst of all what Elijah was saying to God, God takes him out and has this the most amazing, spectacular, incredible, natural multimedia show anyone could ever experience by the moving of God's hand. What he's showing Elijah, I'm in control, my friend. He goes, look at my power and might. I can move in an earthquake. I can move in fire. I can move in a whisper. Elijah, focus in on me. Don't focus in on what someone else is doing. Don't focus in on the past, your ancestors. Don't allow the frustrations to control you. Elijah, focus in on me and look what I can do. I'm the sovereign God. I'm in control. I have the ability to take care of the problem and the situation. Elijah, let me be God in your life. Let me be God in your life and you be yourself. You be yourself and be the person that I created you to be. When we refocus in on God, it begins to help us overcome burnout because I'm looking at the solution to the problem or the issue. God's the solution in everything that I do. Now, I know that may sound weird to some people, but it's so true. He gives you the answers you need about everything, from buying a car to buying a home to who you'll marry to your kids to your finances to your relationships. He gives you all that you need. So we need to refocus in on him. I'm not a computer person. When I first came into ministry, I used to have people, for like the first 5 to 8 years, I had people checking my email for me. I didn't want to check my email. I couldn't figure out how to get into it. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, this thing's stupid. Man, now I'm much better. Plus, I have 2 young adult kids that, you know, can do anything with a smartphone and a computer. But, you know, sometimes, you know what we got to do with our computers and our phones? We got to reset them, don't we? Because they got glitches, they got problems. This isn't going on, that's not going on. So we got to reset the phone, we got to reset the computer. That's what we have to do sometimes in our life. We got to reset ourselves to refocus in on Jesus. Refocus in on Jesus. And you know what I used to get concerned about? Well, what if I lose data? Well, maybe sometimes I need to lose that data because that data is the issue. Or whatever I had saved or whatever. So wipe it clean. Refocus. 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 And then finally this. And then after we refocus, now this one may seem odd, but I'm going to tell you out of experience. If you want to really have a remedy for burnout, begin to serve other people. Serve other people. See, we have to really begin to remove our eyes from ourselves. We begin to place them on the Lord and those that are around us. You know, we sit at home, and I would sit at home. I'm like, God, but you don't understand. I'm that, God. You know, we came to church, and the sound didn't work. And, oh, God. And you know what God would say? Yeah, but so-and-so doesn't even have a building that they meet in, and they don't even have a soundboard or any type of electronic devices. And you're complaining because you only had 1 microphone instead of 2 microphones? See, when we take our eyes off ourselves and put them on someone else, there'll always be someone that has or is in a situation that's worse or greater than you're going through. And so when we take our eyes off ourselves and begin to serve them, it's amazing how we get regenerated, how we get revived, how we get renewed as we serve and we love others with the love of Christ. See, the Bible says that you have been given spiritual gifts and you're to use them to serve one another, 1 Peter 4:10. Galatians 5:13 says, you have been called to live in freedom, and so use your freedom to serve one another in love. It's a remedy. It's serving. The Lord's been stewing within me a series on Inside Out. That as believers, we got a lot of stuff on the inside of us that we need to start living it on the outside. We come to our beautiful sanctuaries, our beautiful houses of worship, and we do all that we do in here. But God's saying, great, now take your eyes off of you and put them outside. And it's a challenging series because it's going to challenge us to move because we're called to be a remnant. I'm setting up for this series. We're a remnant. This church is a remnant. We know where we were, but we know where we're going. And this remnant of people is rising up. Each week we see new people coming in and staying and things happening. I know in vacation times it doesn't look that way right now, but I'm telling you, I know. I track this stuff. So, let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's wrap this up. Maybe you're experiencing burnout. I want to pray for you. And if that's you, make your way real quick to the front of the church. You're experiencing burnout. You're living on your emotions. You're trying to control everybody in every situation in your life. You have just lost focus and vision of what you're called to do, who you're called to be. These are real things. These are real things that are happening in people's lives. We believe here at church that we want to give God an opportunity because you've heard the word preached and we're given some simplistic steps to help you overcome that. So we always believe that we should always have an altar call. Always have time for prayer. Always at least offer. Because this is so important. Because these people's lives and you on other days, you need a touch. You need an impact. You need something from God to help you where you're at, get you unstuck, get you to the new level of where you need to be. I told that to a pastor one time. He says, you pray every week after service? I'm like, yeah. He goes, we don't. I'm like, you don't? He goes, oh, no. And I'm like, you know me, Mr. Shy. Just met him for the first time. I'm like, well, you need to. He looked at me. I'm like, you need to. Because people's lives are being affected if we don't. Anyone else? You're burned out. You're tired. You're frustrated. You're comparing. You're living on emotions. You've lost vision. Anyone else? All right, so what I need you to do, families, I need you to stretch your hands forward, please. So we're going to just have one giant faith-binding moment here. Lord, we've come today. We've worshiped. We've heard a word that you would have spoken in season. And God, we have your children standing here in response to you. Lord, for such a moment as this in time, that, Lord, you would touch their lives. Father, in some way, shape, or form, today's message had spoke to them, whether it's control, emotions, frustrations, whatever it may be, God, whatever part of burnout they're experiencing, God, I ask right now that you would begin to do like you did on that mountainside, that you would peel back the heavens and you would consume your children this day. That, Father, you would bring strength where strength is needed. You would bring wisdom where wisdom is needed. Father, I declare that this day the truth would be deposited in a greater dimension. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that we would not fall back into comparing who we are. Lord, reveal to your sons and daughters exactly who they are, what they're called to do, who you created them to be, God. Reveal it this day. So they no longer compare themselves to anyone else around them. They see the specialness of who they are, the unique way you created them, oh God. Father, help us to refocus. Lord, help us to serve others, to realize that, hey, you know what? There's a lot of other people in worse situations. So I'm going to celebrate who I am in you, and I'm going to serve someone else. Lord, help us to continue to stay focused in on you. For in you is all that we need. Lord, I pray that there is no lasting effect if someone is in the midst of burnout right now. Lord, I pray that you bring peace to their lives. Joy. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, I declare this day the day of freedom and liberation. That, Lord, they walk out of here recharged, re-energized, ready to do that which you called them to do. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you have said today and all that you have done at both services. Even those who haven't come for prayer, God, you're touching them right where they're at. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. Thank you, guys. We're going to leave the altars open and ask the prayer team to come down. If anyone else needs any more prayer, thanks for being here today. God bless you. We'll be back next week. Sign up for the church picnic and the golf outing.